Staff recommends an extension and to keep the acreage out of commerce until February the 14th, 2018.
All right. Any questions or discussion on that item two? Do I have a motion to accept staff's recommendation for the extension? Moved by Mr. Watkins, second by Ms. Michaud-Dugas. Any public comment? If not, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay. The motion carries.
Item number three is a follow-up from last month's lease sale. It's a discussion between the State Mineral and Energy Board and the staff regarding Energy 21's obligation to furnish certain types of information pursuant to paragraphs 11 and 12 of the State Mineral Lease Form and a discussion of the continued enforcement of Energy 21's contractual obligations to plug and abandon wells and facilities located on former state lease numbers 14031, 18737, and 18738. This will be informational purposes only.
Okay.
This is brought up from this board handling for the record, brought up from Mr. Hollingshead last month. We're currently looking at the situation with that as far as putting out the letter to them requesting the information and noting in correspondence to Article 12 in their lease agreement. So that's in process. There's a little bit more involved with all of that, and we'll hopefully have some update to you next month on that.
Okay, thank you. My concern really with Energy 21, and not being critical of them, they just happened to come up before us, and I looked at it. But the two wells in question on one of the leases appear to be in open water. There's some pretty serious pressure control devices on them, it looks like to me. I have no idea. These wells, I believe, are, 15,000 plus feet at one time. I don't know where they are now. But Energy 21 acquired these from Exxon. Exxon drilled these in the early 90s. And one thing that I found interesting looking at it, when you look at Energy 21's current 10Q that was current as of August 14th of 17, they had letters, 337 million dollars in performance and payment bonds and a $200 million line of credit payable to Exxon relating to assets in the Gulf of Mexico. So my question when I look at this is for me, I think Exxon did a great job here. If these, they covered their self. So I'm wondering if we can learn anything from Exxon. And is any of this money available to plug our wells? So, I don't know where it goes, but my concern is that the wells get plugged. And there's a half a billion dollars that Exxon acknowledged when these wells were transferred February 9th of 2011. So I'd ask if someone would look into this.
Can you refresh my memory? Was this the one where they had various wells? Was it in a lake or something? And they were obligated to plug some, but they couldn't for some reason. But there's something was going on with some other wells. I'm trying to remember.
No, this is one where there's like four, five leases together. They relinquished three of the five leases. We still have two of the leases that are held by production. And you've got pipelines running from those leases to a platform that's located in the where the three leases were released. And two of those wells have to be P&A'd. And so Mr. Hollingshead brought up the subject that in our lease agreement, we do show that within a year, these wells have to be P&A'd with that. And we're have in the past sent out letters requesting information on the wells along with the platform, and we'll be following up on that, noting that they do have a contractual agreement with the state for that.
Now, Energy 21 did go into bankruptcy, didn't they?
Yes, they went.
Came out?
Bankruptcy came out, and they have a brand new management team compared to what was in place previous to the bankruptcy.
And is bankruptcy. Do these particular leases, are they with the main company, Energy 21, or is it some spinoff LLC just formed for these each lease or well?
The three that are released
It's Energy 21, but they're a different entity.
Right. The ones that were released were operated by Energy 21. So we're lucky with that. You do have a lot of leases that are operated, as you say, by different entities.
Right.
And this was a spinoff from last month's a report where they had requested a waiver of liquidated damages, and that's what
right.
kind of brought this up.
Mr. Hike.
So, I mean, it's a little bit out of my wheelhouse, but does this mean that Energy 21 is not following the paragraphs 11 and 12 of our state mineral lease in terms of P&A?
No, they have, according to Article 12 within the lease, they have 1 year to P&A these wells. So
has it been a year?
No, sir.
Are there other leases like this? Are there other situations like this?
I'm sorry.
Are there other situations like this?
Well, in all of our leases, there are leases that have been released, and we can check on that for you. Yes.
That doesn't answer my question. Are there other leases that have not, and wells have not been plugged and abandoned as pursuant to the lease?
As of today, I can't tell you that, but I can check on it for you.
Can you get us a report with regards to that?
Yes, sir.
What does that really mean? Tell me, what happens if you don't plug and abandon? Tell us.
Well, you have two different situations here. One dealing with what the actual contract says, which it says that the leasee is liable for the wells within 1 year. But a lot of times the leasee is not the operator who is under the conservation is liable.
That's not what I want to know. What I want to know is, where's the liability? What happens if this doesn't occur? That's what I want to know.
Well, this
what happens
if this doesn't occur? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mr. Secretary.
We've had discussions of this internally. My suggestion is that we take advantage of all of our options as a landowner, protecting the state's interest. Certainly, we have options legally to pursue non-performance of the terms of the lease. We haven't reached a year yet, so that's not an option yet. In the meantime, we can do what any landowner can do and be a squeaky wheel. And what the Assistant Secretary and I have discussed is just making it a matter of course that in situations like this that Jamie send a memo to the Office of Conservation, to the Commissioner, requesting A, B, and C.
Can they be penalized? Can the lessee be penalized as a result of?
If the Office of Conservation issues an order to take certain actions and those actions are not taken, yes, the Office of Conservation can issue penalties. We don't have, the Office of Mineral Resources does not have the statutory authority to order them to do anything. We have the options that any landowner, any lessor would have. And by pursuing compliance through the Office of Conservation, we're not giving up any of those legal rights. In fact, we're strengthening our legal position if the lessee ignores Office of Conservation orders. I would say that, you know, our legal position would be stronger for to sue for non performance.
I think I understand that, but I guess I didn't ask the right question. What occurs in the body of water or on the land or whatever if the well is not plugged and abandoned? What could occur environmentally or otherwise?
Eventually, and that's why there are regulations in the Office of Conservation's rules that require plugging the proper P&A, plugging in an abandonment of a well when its useful life is ended.
But if it's not plugged, Mr. Secretary,
there's the potential for environmental contamination, both at, potentially at the surface and intermediate freshwater aquifers.
So it would be.
It's been in the Office of Conservation's rules for decades that wells need to be properly P&A'd in accordance with certain standards at the end of their useful life.
So it would be incumbent upon us to know how many. I mean, that's the reason that Mr. Holland had his, initially made his request. Being incumbent on us to know how many of these leases and wells have not been plugged and abandoned properly.
I've seen a report on that, and it's a large number. I'm thinking over 1,000. I don't know, but I don't know how the breakout is on those. And so that's concerning to me. I don't know if we can go backwards, but we can go forward. Something that I would like to see in the lease report each month, if it's possible, would be a number of releases when these leases are released and the number of impacted wells. So at least we have an idea of the magnitude of this problem. I don't know if it is a problem. It appears to be with this one. But I would like to see those numbers.
What I'd like to see is, and the Assistant Secretary and I have spoken about this, make this part of our standard operating procedure. When you do a release, obtain a release from on a well, just part of the process, have a standard form that the staff does not have to figure out how do we word this. It's already been through management and legal review of a memo to the Commissioner of Conservation to.
And after a year, right? That's what it takes, after a year, and they're on top of this, that after a year, that's when all this process kicks in with the Department of Conservation and what has to be done at that point. Is that correct?
My thought is it just as soon as reasonably possible, within a few weeks after the release, to just send the memo requesting action to the Office of Conservation. And we're not giving up any of our legal rights as lessors. We can certainly still take legal action for non-performance, but the Office of Conservation is the agency with the authority to enforce their rules. And we should take full advantage of that and remind them of what needs to be done.
Should we also copy the person that the lease was transferred from, since they're still in the chain of title? Like when we notify Energy 21 that they have not P&A'd this well, would you also send a copy to Exxon's contact? Let them know that they have a potential liability there?
I'll defer to the attorneys on that.
I don't know.
But this is kind of concerning to me. I mean, do we actually have 1,000 wells that have not been properly plugged, but have been abandoned that could possibly cause environmental impact?
That's probably a question that only conservation can answer. They're the ones that track those data.
Well, should we not know that?
Well, I think they do know that. I think as we sit here today, we can't answer your question because conservation's not here today. We can certainly ask.
Can we get a report with regard?
I have no idea.
How many wells have not been plugged along the coast of Iberia Parish? I'd like to know that, for instance. That's pretty concerning to me. And if it's not been done, then what do we do about this? What can we do about this? Or should we just say, well,
Mr. High, We've got two issues running alongside each other right here. We've got the state's contractual rights and the lessor's, the lessee's obligation under a under our mental lease with them. All right, we've got also running with that regulatory rules that are enforced by the Office of Conservation. As our office, I mean, we can write our former lessee a letter in the process of obtaining these releases, saying, in accordance with Article 11 and 12, you need to P&A this well within 1 year. We can follow up with that with them. The teeth, the only teeth that we have to enforce our office, Office of Mineral Resources, to enforce these contractual provisions is just like every other landowner in the state, and that's to bring a lawsuit. Okay? That's, you're talking about a huge undertaking requiring lots of attorneys, lots of staff, lots of money. What we can do is what Secretary Harris said, is we can notify and utilize and work with conservation and let them know what wells need to be P&A'd whenever a lease is released, follow up with them, you know, and try to be the squeaky wheel, as Tom was saying, and try to get these things enforced. So
I'd like to add to that if I can. I think whether rightly or wrongly, you know, this was a legislative decision to vest this board with the leasing authority and to vest the Office of Conservation with the plugging, abandoning, remediation authority. We don't have the statutory authority to force the cleanup. That is done strictly under the plenary authority of the Office of the Commissioner of Conservation.
I'm not arguing with any of that, but I'll tell you one thing. I'd like to know who the bad players are, and I think we have a right to know that.
And I think in that regard, I would suggest that if the board's interested in that, and I'll defer to the board, that's a request that needs to go to the Office of Conservation. Because nobody on this staff can answer
it. It'd go to the governor. It'd probably go to the parish president.
Yeah, but they're not going to be able to answer your question. Commissioner of Conservation can answer your question.
No, but the people ought to know who the bad players are, and that's the point. Are the ones that are not plugging and abandoned pursuant to the lease. Would you not agree with that?
I don't have a position on that.
I know you don't. But the point is, to me, it's quite simple. If they're not doing what they're supposed to do under the lease, and if the wells are not being plugged properly, and it could possibly cause an environmental catastrophe, then somebody ought to stand up and say, let's do something about it. And it might not be our authority, but it certainly is in our purview to be able to know about that and to make it public and request whomever has that authority to get off their duff. And I think that is what Mr. Hollins, Ed, is talking about. We need to bring that to light.
Let me add one other thing to this, too. The bulk of the abandoned, abandoned in a traditional sense, orphaned, non-plugged and abandoned wells, the entities that are responsible no longer exist. That much I do know just from working with this. So, you know, highlighting the bad players in that regard isn't going to accomplish anything. They don't exist anymore. But I think, again, to go back to your statement, I think making the request to conservation for the information that you're seeking is the only first step to be taken here.
And I would just ask that maybe you consider, especially in this case, copying Exxon on that letter. They're holding, it appears, $500 million of these people's money, and they've got a little bit of hammer to make them do the right thing. At least give them the opportunity.
I mean, I think that's a possibility if we reach beyond the year. I mean, I don't think we should have a practice of notifying people up the chain before they've actually violated something.
I agree with you, and I'll leave that up to you, but I would notify up.
All right. Any more questions and discussion? And item 3. If not, I believe we have an update on the lease form compilation process, item 4.
Sure. I updated the board last month, and along with that is, you know, my intentions were this over the month in between the meetings was to deal with and address through our internal review process Articles 3, 4, and 5. We've done that. We're going to take up Articles 6, 7, and 8 over the next month, and then Article 9 we hope to finish, which is the royalty provision, which is important. We hope to finish our internal review of that by the end of the year. And just as a note, going forward, at the request of some board members, and I'm in agreement that that I'll update the board periodically as we get to a certain amount, be it 3, 4, or 5 articles that we complete our internal review process on, that we then send those drafts, and they are drafts, to the board members to review and for informational purposes. And by all means, I encourage you guys, if you have some issues as we go along with this, whenever you receive those drafts, to pick up the phone and call me or send me an email, and we can discuss them as we go through the process. That way, the board isn't just inundated with the entire lease at the end of the process.
Great.
Thank you. With regards to that, Mr. Chairman, I appreciate Mr. Manuel's position with regards to that. I'd like to make a motion to that effect so that, for instance, as I understand it, staff has reviewed Articles 1 through 5. Those articles would be sent to us for review for informational purposes and questions, and as they go through each stage, as he mentioned, like Articles 6, 7, and 8, they would be sent to us for review and comment. And so I guess my motion would be that as staff reviews the articles of the proposed new lease and completes the review process of those articles, staff would forward these articles for informational purposes and review by the board members. Once all of that is done, then before, and this is part of my motion, before it is published for public review, that the board would be sent the entire document for our comments. That's the basis of my motion.
In the draft form, right?
In a draft form.
Right. Okay, Mr. Hank has a motion on the floor. Do I have a second? Second by Mr. Watkins.
The entire document every month, or just the articles that have been reviewed again?
No, the motion is that as a staff reviews various articles each month, they send those articles to us for review and comment and discussion.
The articles that have been,
and then at the end of the process, before that proposed document is published, it's sent to the board for another look, and then once that's done, then it would be presented to the public for public information.
As the staff completes their review or draft, I would think each in phases, he would like those drafts that are ready to go or to be considered to be given to us to review, so that by the time that we can review them in those parts, so that by the time we do tackle the whole thing, you've already kind of reviewed them, and then he wants a full draft copy.
The entire,
Take
them again.
As in the sections that they complete that are ready to be considered, even though they're not going to be considered at that time, they'll be considered at a later date, all at one time, or in phases, I guess?
Yeah.
He just wants to, as they unfold, he wants them to come to us.
Yes.
Then you want the entire document again?
Well, he's not going to be...
So they're just giving it to him in parts.
We're going to be given... My motion anticipates that the articles will be sent to us as they review them, and they send that to us for our own comment, and then at the end of that whole process, when they complete the whole lease, that completed lease for informational purposes would
not
be sent to us.
Not on the monthly basis, the whole entire document. That's not what you're saying.
No, because they're taking the articles, in sections.
When they complete all the phases of these drafts, then he wants to see the whole draft lease
before it's published.
Before it's published.
Because at one time, What occurred was it was made public, the lease was, without a complete review by the board. And I didn't think that was proper.
Right.
That's the reason.
All right. So any questions and discussion on Mr. Hike's motion? Any public comment? If not, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed signify by saying nay. Motion carries.
That completes the items.
That's all for the legal and title controversy review. We have some executive session.
We have docket.
Oh, docket next. Okay. The docket review.
Under Category A, state agency leases, no items appearing for approval today. Under Category B, state lease transfers, we recommend that items 1 through 3 be approved. Item 4 be approved subject to the approval of the governor. And we are requesting items 5 through 10 be approved. Before you take action, one of the items 4, as to Mr. Hike's comment of good players, bad players, item 4 is an assignment from ORB to BCF Resources that we are asking you to approve the assignment of State Lease 193. State Lease 193 was taken in 1934. It was a 20,000-acre lease. 293, State Lease 293. It's in the Lake Fosse Point field in Iberia and St. Martin Parish. What happened here is that one of the players, ORB, was not working with staff. We had been asking them for some time to come in and present a plan of development so that we could continue to fully complete the lease. Subsequent to that and through that transition, we noticed that this assignment came in from ORB to BCF Resources, and we contacted them and we told them of our concern that we weren't really in a position to recommend to you, the board, unless we could get some kind of plan of development and direction as to where they were heading. They came in, they were energetic, enthusiastic. They presented a great plan of development, which is, it just excited the whole staff. As far as if it pans out as what they presented to us, we are really excited. So we thought assignments are kind of humdrum month to month, but this was an exciting thing that we wanted to present to you, make you aware that as we go through our daily processes and we check things that come before you, that there's some exciting news on the horizon with this company coming into play. So having said that, we would request that the items previously mentioned for approval would be approved.
Great. Thank you. Any questions or discussions? Those docket items?
I'm sorry, I'm jumping ahead of myself. I also have Category C for the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, state agency lease transfers. There are no items appearing on that for approval. And Category D, advertised proposals. We're asking to approve item number 1. My apologies.
All right, great. Thank you. Mr. Hollinshead has a question.
Mr. Fontenot, do you know what the state's royalty is on lease number 293?
1/8.
So 12.5%?
12.5%.
Is that, do you think that's one of the issues that made it more attractive to these people to want to develop it, was they got a 1/8 lease?
No, sir. I don't know. I can't answer that. I can tell you that BCF recently became the operator in the field, and they had some very aggressive thoughts as to how to develop the field. And they are wanting to become the owner through this assignment of a state lease 293. I guess you can't rule that out. 1/5, it's attractive to anyone, but I can't answer that.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those instances. I mean, as a general principle, especially since I've gotten here, we've really made a push to try to get out from under a lot of these older historical leases with these 1/8 royalties, with the non-pew clause leases. But this is, I think, one instance where the lower royalty maybe made it economical for these guys to come in, and they were former employees of Orb who saw things differently than that owner did, and purchased the assets themselves, and gained a decent amount of funding from outside the state, which is always encouraging. So,
thank you for that information. It's very encouraging to me that. Would you consider this a depleted field or an old field if it's been in since the 30s? So we've got someone coming back in. That 1/8 had to help the performer.
Indeed.
Great. Any other questions or discussion on the docket items?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Brian Seidman with the state, or with the AG's office. Just one reminder, it occurred to me, Secretary and I were just discussing this, going back to the lease provisions and circulations of that, I'd just ask all of y'all to be mindful when that stuff is distributed. Distribution is fine, but discussion through emails that's not within the context of an open meeting is not okay. So just keep that in mind when you get them. Please feel free, review them, think about them. You know, if you want to chat with staff individually, that's fine, but let's keep down the responses to the emails that send them out. That's all.
Right. Absolutely. Another regulatory example.
All right.
All right, do we have any more questions on the docket items? And do we have a motion to accept those docket items?
So moved.
Moved by Secretary Harris, second by Ms. Misha Dugas. Any public comment? If not, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion carries.
Executive session.
Executive session items.
There are three items under 6, A, B, and C. A is a status update regarding settlement of outstanding audit issues with Chevron Texaco, Texaco E&P, and Unical. 6B is a discussion and a request for authority regarding termination of state lease numbers 16442, 16443, 16543, 16594, 16890, 17303, and 18078 in Plaquemines and St. Bernard Parishes, Louisiana. All leases are operated by Lobo Operating, Inc. and Lobo Oil and Gas, LLC, and is the state's lessee for all 7 state leases. 6C is a technical briefing on the bids.
All right, thank you. I'd like to get a motion to go into executive session. Do you have a motion? Mr. Hollinshead, second by Ms. Misha Oduga. Any public comment on that? All in favor, signify by saying aye. All opposed, signify by saying nay. We are in executive session. We'll be back momentarily.
Hold it up. I can't.
You must be a rich man.
All right, I'd like to entertain a motion to come out of executive session. I have a motion by Ms. LeBlanc. Do I have a second? By Mr. Hollinshead. Any public comment? If not, all in favor? Signify by saying aye. All opposed, signify by saying nay. The motion carries. We're back in regular session from executive session. We have some leases. Jason, are you going to present them?
We need to go.
Oh, I'm sorry. The executive session item.
Yes, sir. As to item 6A, a status update, it was for informational purposes only. 6B, dealing with the leases mentioned earlier in Plaquemines and St. Bernard Parishes. We're requesting authority to send a letter of termination and a request for release.
Right. Okay. Do you have a motion to give the staff that authority?
So moved.
Moved by Secretary Harris, second by Mr. Watkins. Any public comment? If not, all in favor, signify by saying aye. All opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion carries. Item C is our technical briefing.
Jason Talbert representing the staff to technical briefing on the bids. We received four bids today. All bids are acceptable, or recommended to be acceptable.
All right. Any questions or discussion on those leases or bids up for awarding? Do I have a motion to accept those bids? Moved by Mr. Cadero, second by Mr. Watkins. Any public comment? If not, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion carries. Those bids are, or leases are awarded. Any new business? Any announcements?
Yes, the amount of bonuses for today's lease sale is $281,157, and the total amount for the fiscal year is $2,348,265.80.
Great, thank you. I'd like to say something. I noticed a week or two ago in the Lafayette newspaper, there was an obituary for Mr. Macy Dennis, who he worked here. Some of you may have remembered him. He usually presented the docket report or review for us and would hand out some of these bid sheets. And so I saw that he passed away. I know he had some health issues before, but Macy Dennis. And so, anyway, just wanted to mention he was a good guy, and I'm sorry to hear of his passing. So, all right, if there's no further business or announcements, I'd like to entertain a motion to adjourn. Moved by Mr. Hike, second by Mr. Hollinshead. Any public comment on that? If not, all in favor, signify by saying aye. All opposed, nay. The motion carries. We're adjourned. We'll see you next month.